Welcome to Akatra Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI.
Welcome to Akatra Dialogue. Today we're taking a deep dive into a truly remarkable novel by, well, an extraordinary figure, Rabindranath Tagore.
Absolutely, a towering figure. Poet, novelist, composer, philosopher, India's first Nobel laureate in literature.
Exactly. And what's fascinating is his synthesis, isn't it? This blend of Eastern and Western thought, always pushing towards a kind of universal humanism.
He had this incredible ability to look at the massive shifts happening around him, social, political, and just distill them into art that honestly still speaks to us so powerfully today. It's about asking who we are.
Which brings us perfectly to Gora, published in 1910, often called his most ambitious work, maybe his most complex too.
Definitely ambitious. It's this sprawling epic set against such a volatile backdrop.
Right, I think late 19th century Calcutta. Tradition bumping up against modernity, the independence movement stirring, the partition of Bengal. Huge ferment. And Gora dives right into the heart of it. National identity, religious reform, social change. It's fundamentally a meditation on belonging, on authenticity.
And driven by this incredible central irony, which we should probably get to.
We absolutely should. Because the novel really asks these profound questions. Is identity inherited? Is it chosen? How do you balance heritage and, well, progress?
Questions we're still grappling with.
And the character embodying all this is Gormahan, or Gora. He's passionate, physically imposing, strikingly fair-skinned.
And here's the twist, the core irony you mentioned. He's this incredibly fervent Hindu nationalist.
Deeply Orthodox.
Deeply. But unbeknownst to him, he was actually born to Irish parents, orphaned during the mutiny, then adopted and raised by a loving Hindu family.
Wow. So his entire identity is built on, well, not what he thinks it is.
Exactly. And that secret is the ticking clock under the whole narrative. Its revelation is just shattering.
Okay, let's unpack this. A fervent nationalist grappling with an identity he doesn't even know isn't his own. What makes Gora tick, and who else populates this world?
Well, Gora is fascinating psychologically. He starts off so rigid, almost dogmatic. He champions Orthodox Hinduism with this fierce intellect, seeing it as the absolute bedrock of India.
Unshakable conviction.
Completely. But his journey is one of deconstruction. It's this slow, often painful process of shedding those rigid layers. He moves from that doctrinaire stance towards something much more inclusive, spiritually speaking.
A humbling process, I imagine.
And ultimately, a liberating one,
but
deeply challenging.
So who provides the main challenge? The intellectual counterpoint.
That would absolutely be Sucharita Pallett. She's his intellectual and really spiritual counterpart. She's raised in the Brahmo Samaj tradition.
Which was a major reform movement, right? Trying to blend Hindu philosophy with Western rationalism, challenging things like caste.
Exactly. And Sucharita isn't just a passive figure or a love interest. She has real agency, real intellectual independence. She engages Gora head on in these intense debates about religion, society. She's on her own quest for genuine faith.
So their relationship is central.
It's the absolute core, emotionally and ideologically. Full of tension, but also this undeniable pull between them.
And her father, Paresh Babu. He sounds like a figure of calm wisdom in all this.
He really is. He's a Brahmo leader, but serene, deeply wise. He embodies this tolerant, rational Hinduism, free from dogma and superstition, a real foil to Gora's intensity.
A moral compass.
Definitely. He represents this alternative vision spirituality rooted in compassion, reason, his patience with Gora. It speaks volumes about Tagore's belief in dialogue over shouting.
We also need to talk about Anandamoy, Gore's adoptive mother. She's carrying this immense secret.
Ah, Anandamoy. She's just the embodiment of unconditional love, pure humanism. Even though she comes from an Orthodox background herself, her love for Gora transcends all those boundaries.
Her quiet defiance.
Yes. Her quiet defiance of caste rules just based on love is incredibly powerful. And yes, she holds that crucial secret about Gora's birth, and the weight of it is immense. It eventually forces the climax.
Then there's Binoy, Gora's close friend. He seems a bit more moderate.
Binoy provides a really important contrast. He's more adaptable, maybe more open-minded than Gora, initially at least. His journey is about finding his own voice.
Torn between loyalty and his own reason.
Exactly. Torn between his fierce loyalty to Gora and his attraction to the Brahmo world, particularly through Lalita. He shows that change can happen through evolution, not just confrontation. His struggles mirror what many people were feeling then.
And Lalita, Paresh Babu's biological daughter. You mentioned her hands, like she adds a different kind of energy.
Oh, she's a force of nature. Lolita represents the emerging modern Indian woman, fiery, independent, totally defiant of stifling social rules.
Not afraid to challenge things.
Not at all. She actively fights for her own freedom, her own choices, especially in love. She's a really powerful, progressive figure pushing boundaries.
It's amazing how Tagore weaves these personal stories, these relationships, with these huge philosophical debates. How do the initial meetings really spark these transformations?
It really kicks off when Binoy happens to meet the Palit family, Paresh Babu, Sucharita, Lolita, and enters the Brahmo Samaj world.
And he's drawn in.
Yes, Binoy, being more open, is charmed by their intellectual energy, their progressive values, but Gora, his reaction is immediate hostility. He sees them as a threat to everything he believes in.
So right away, that core tension is established.
Instantly, it highlights the deep divisions in society at that time.
And then things get more complicated, I assume.
Naturally, Binoy starts falling for Lolita and gets drawn deeper into the Brahmo community. This causes huge friction with Gora, who basically demands Binoy cut ties. It's a massive loyalty test.
Puts a strain on their friendship.
Immense strain. But at the same time, Gora himself, despite trying to convert Sucharita away from Brahmoism,
He gets drawn in too.
he finds himself completely captivated by her intellect, her sincerity, her spiritual depth. It creates this powerful, really unsettling bond. It's a crack in his armor, this connection he can't reconcile with his public stance.
Wow, the tension must be palpable. His whole worldview is based on rejecting what she represents, yet he's drawn to her. How does this escalate into a real crisis?
The breaking point really comes through Lolita. She does something quite scandalous for the time travels, unchaperoned with Binoy.
Causing a huge social uproar, I imagine.
Massive. And this forces Binoy's hand. Does he bow to Gore's authority and the rigid social code, or does he follow his heart, his own convictions, and stand by Lolita?
And he chooses Lolita.
He does. He stands by her, defying Gora and society. It's his decisive break from Gora's rigid ideology. He starts forging his own path.
That's a huge
Nah,
moment.
yeah.
So, with Binoy going his own way, what does Gora do? He goes on a journey, doesn't he, into the countryside?
Yes, he heads into rural Bengal. He's trying to connect with what he imagines is the real India, the pure heartland of Orthodox Hinduism.
Looking for validation, maybe?
Probably. But instead of finding this idealized society, he comes face to face with the harsh realities. Brutal caste discrimination, superstition, just grinding poverty.
So it shatters his illusions.
Completely. It deeply shakes his faith in orthodoxy. And then there's this pivotal moment, a real turning point, where he gets arrested defending Muslim villagers against a tyrannical Hindu landlord.
An act of human compassion over doctrine.
Precisely. It's driven by pure humanity, not religious rules, and that fundamentally challenges everything he thought he stood for. It forces him to see people beyond strict religious lines.
What a profound internal crisis. His intellectual framework is crumbling. His ideal India isn't real. But the final blow comes from his mother, Anandamoyee, right? With the secret.
That's the emotional and philosophical climax. Anandamoyee sees Gore as suffering, his intense internal conflict, and she just can't keep the secret any longer.
She tells him.
She reveals the truth about his birth, that he's the orphan of Irish parents, and his foster father, Krishna Dial, confirms it on his deathbed.
The ground must just vanish beneath his feet. Everything he built his identity on.
Annihilated. His Brahmin identity, his fervent Hinduism, his very Indianness, as he defined it all, revealed as, well, not based on birth, it's utterly devastating.
But also potentially liberating.
Exactly. From that total destruction comes this incredible liberation. The devastation leads to this profound epiphany. He's suddenly free, free from the constraints of caste, creed, dogma that he'd imposed on himself and others.
So he embraces a new identity.
A universal one. He sees himself as belonging to all of India, not just one narrow sect.
And what does he say? What's his declaration after this?
He goes to Paresh Babu, the wise man he once opposed, and essentially says, and this is powerful, "Today I am an Indian. In me there is no conflict of communities, whether Hindu, Muslim, or Christian. Today every caste in India is my caste. The food of all is my food."
Wow. That's incredible.
It's this profound release.
All right.
And it's not just personal. It frees him to truly connect with Sucharita beyond those old divisions, and it allows him to imagine a new vision for India.
One based on shared humanity, not labels.
Precisely, an expansive, inclusive vision.
So, connecting this story to the bigger picture, what are the really timeless messages here? That theme of identity and belonging feels incredibly relevant today.
Oh, absolutely. It's central. Tagore dissects how identity gets constructed by society, birth, belief systems, versus how we find it authentically.
That quote you mentioned earlier.
When we know ourselves, we realize that our self is larger than the boundaries we have drawn around it. It's a direct challenge, isn't it? To look beyond the labels we or others put on us.
Whether it's nationality, religion, politics.
Any of it. Tagore argues authentic belonging comes from chosen commitment, from understanding not just from the accident of birth. Are you defining yourself or letting the world do it for you?
That really resonates. And it connects to his ideas on nationalism too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He wasn't against patriotism, but against narrowness.
Exactly. He critiques that kind of exclusivist nationalism. Remember his line, "I am not afraid of my country being called small if she is truly great." Greatness isn't about size or power. It's about spirit, values, compassion.
And the whole debate between orthodoxy and reform, that tension between tradition and progress seems perennial.
Tagore handles it with such nuance. He sees the value in tradition, but he fiercely critiques blind ritual, dogma that stifles people. He champions reform that brings genuine meaning back to faith.
Like Paresh Babu's approach.
Yes, that personal experiential faith. The novel strongly suggests true religion isn't about temples or idols, but about purity of heart and in good deeds. And that crucial idea, truth is not afraid of questions. Faith shouldn't fear scrutiny.
Feels very urgent today. And what about love and understanding in the story?
They're shown as truly transformative. Anandamoy's unconditional love is maybe the most powerful force in the book. My love for you has no religion and no caste. It just melts barriers.
And that butterfly metaphor.
Yes. The butterfly that brushes against thorns will find that the thorns hurt, but the flower will also reward. It's such a beautiful image for how overcoming difficulties in relationships, embracing vulnerability, leads to deeper connection. Love is the ultimate bridge builder in Gora.
And the women characters Sucharita and Lalita seem incredibly forward-thinking for 1910.
Remarkably so. Tagore was way ahead of his time. They aren't just background figures. They are active agents with intellectual independence, making choices, demanding social participation.
Their liberation is tied to India's broader progress.
Definitely. Tagore links women's freedom directly to the social and spiritual regeneration he hopes for. They are shaping their own destinies, and in doing so, shaping India's.
It's not just what Tagore says, but how he says it that makes Gora so powerful. What about the literary techniques?
Well, he uses an omniscient third-person narrator, which is key for a novel this broad. It lets him dive deep into everyone's inner thoughts and motivations.
Giving you real psychological depth?
Exactly, while also providing that wider social commentary. You understand the characters from the inside, but also see the bigger picture.
And the structure
feels
quite deliberate.
It's epic in scope, certainly. The pacing is quite measured, almost meditative at times. It really focuses on dialogue, on these intellectual debates. It's structured like a dialectic, an argument unfolding between different viewpoints.
Contrasting the city and the countryside, too.
Yes, that juxtaposition between Calcutta's intellectual ferment and the sometimes harsh realities of rural life is crucial. It creates this constant interplay of ideas and experiences.
And the symbolism must be rich.
Oh, definitely. Gora's fair skin is the most obvious irony, foreshadowing the truth. Anandamoy's kitchen, where caste rules dissolve, is a beautiful symbol of universalism. Even the Ganges, usually a symbol of unity, here also shows division with segregated bathing ghats.
And that central irony of his birth underpins everything.
It's the engine of the plot, the source of all the tension. It's just masterful, dramatic irony leading to that climax. And the psychological realism is profound. You really feel, you understand why people hold the views they do, even opposing ones. The dialogue isn't just talk, it is the action exploring these huge issues.
So for you, the listener, diving into Gora isn't just reading a story, it's really an experience.
Yeah.
What kind of emotional journey should people expect?
You really live through Gora's transformation. From that rigid certainty through the absolute devastation of the revelation to this achieved mature wisdom. It's a journey of self-discovery that mirrors universal experiences, making you question your own assumptions.
And the love story adds another layer.
Absolutely. The relationship between Gora and Sucharita, blooming against all odds, offers real emotional resonance. It gives you hope that connection can bridge seemingly impossible divides. Their struggle reflects the challenges societies face, balancing tradition and change.
So it leaves you questioning your own identity.
Definitely. It prompts you to think hard about what constitutes authentic identity and inherited traits versus chosen values, especially in our fragmented world. It pushes you to look beyond labels.
And it really shifts your perspective on binaries, doesn't it?
Hugely. Gora shows that things we often see as opposites, tradition and progress, nationalism and universalism, don't have to be mutually exclusive. They can be synthesized. It encourages a more nuanced, both-hand way of thinking about complex issues. It helps you see the unity beneath the surface differences.
Ultimately, Gora feels like this incredibly courageous, timeless call for a world that prioritizes our shared humanity over narrow divisions.
It truly is. A reminder that our common humanity is our most fundamental identity, perhaps more relevant now than ever.
A magisterial work still resonating deeply today. Audio narration, single voice. This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.